I invite you to open up in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is where we're going to begin off this morning, talking about things that are of a spiritual nature. I'd like to echo what Brother Lewis had to say when we began this morning, talking about the things that we're going to be discussing this week that are hopefully exhortative, hopefully encouraging, but most importantly going to be truthful. And I would encourage you that if there's something that I say this morning or this week throughout the course of this week that you find not to be truthful, please, it would be both in the benefit of my soul and your soul that you would let me know about that. I don't want to say anything that is going to be inaccurate, that's going to lead to a misunderstanding of the Word of God. As you're turning, though, to Genesis chapter 11, allow me a brief moment to let you know how much I appreciate the offer and the invitation to stand in front of you. I know that whether the real reason Lewis wanted me to come up here is to see my wife and child is beside the point, I want you to understand that I recognize the immense responsibility, the immense amount of care that needs to come with a meeting like this. We're going to spend the next 4 days discussing things of biblical nature. And so by nature, that demands our utmost respect, our utmost admiration for the Word of God. And so that is hopefully going to be our goal this week when we discuss different things that will hopefully expand our horizons within the Scriptures and also grow in our relationship towards God. And today is not going to be any different. As we discuss something from the book of Philippians, we'll get there eventually. As we look at the things that Paul would have to say concerning a subject matter that I think is very important. Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the whole earth used the same language." I'm going to stand over here because there's a projector right there. "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used brick for stone, they used tar for mortar. And then they said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach up into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. And come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech.' Verse 8, 'So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the whole earth. They stopped building the city. Verse 9, therefore its name was called Babel because the Lord there confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth." As you read the story of the Tower of Babel from Genesis the 11th chapter in the first 9 verses, it's always stuck out to me to be a very interesting type of story. Because what you have here comes right after the Noah narrative, where God has completely destroyed the world, all the wicked people are washed away in the grand flood, and this happens right before the great patriarch Abraham would then come onto the scene. Moses would be many, many chapters later, but it's right in between the great flood, the patriarch Noah, then you have the great patriarch Abraham, and right in the middle, jammed in between these two stories, you have this fantastical story of construction called the Tower of Babel, where the entire world, that all has one voice, that all has one language, they all understand each other. It's totally different from today's world. I use the word y'all. Y'all use the word use guys. But you have this entire world that has one central language. And God looks down at that, and these people decide to themselves, what we're going to do as a unification, because we're all one people, we're going to build this massive structure that reaches all the way up into heaven. And God looks at that. And he thinks to himself, I'm going to go down there and see what these people are doing, why they're building this structure in the first place. God obviously is displeased with the fact that these people are building the structure. And so he takes this entire nation, this entire world of people who all have one language, one voice, and he scatters them abroad over the face of the whole earth. That's why people have different languages in different parts of the world, because they all speak different languages, because God saw fit to do such a thing. But the question keeps coming back to the fact of why they even built the structure in the first place. When you think about this grand structure, and people have depicted it in various ways, whether it's the Babylonian ziggurat, which is more of a square-type structure that has different levels. Other people have depicted it as being this big spiral that goes all the way up into the sky. But no matter which way you depict it, the question always comes back to, why did they decide to build this out of anything? The Muslims have their own opinion about this idea. They believe, and I think the Quran teaches, the idea that they wanted to go up to heaven and kiss the face of God. And that is the description that they use for that. The Midrash, which is nothing more than a commentary on the Old Testament done by Jewish scholars, I think ever since the Old Law was basically given, the Midrash kind of this running commentary that they have on that. The Midrash looks very unfavorably at these people and says that these people wanted to do nothing more than take back from God that which God took from them. They ask themselves the question, why does God sit up in heaven while we have this lowly earth here? And so it says that they built this structure and then put a sword at the top to attack God
obviously looking very unfavorably at their predecessors. But regardless of the reason for why these people built it, Genesis kind of gives us a glimpse into that when it says here in Genesis, the 11th chapter, starting in verse 4, when he says, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city." This is the explanation. "A tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name." When it really comes back to the reason that these people built the Tower of Babel in the first place, we can speculate whether they were very unfavorably. Also, they were. We can speculate that they were trying to just build this massive structure. Maybe they had just oodles of free time on their hands and all these bricks. They just decided, we're going to build a structure. But when it really comes down to it, Genesis 11th chapter and verse 4 describes the reason that they built this structure as being nothing more than pride. They were on heaven, or they were on earth. They saw God up on heaven. And so they said to themselves, what we're going to do with our normal, everyday, average life here is we're going to build this fantastical structure that will give us credibility. The world over will look at this structure and will marvel at our engineering prowess. You see the same thing. Flip back a couple of chapters to Genesis, the second chapter. In Genesis chapter 2, the very first sin that would creep into the world that Eve would display. Genesis, if I can even turn the pages of my Bible. Genesis chapter, I'll get there eventually. Genesis chapter 3, rather. Genesis 3. Look at what he says here. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman then said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" Verse 4, "The serpent then said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened.